I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station, and of course, a valued friend. Brad Biggs joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it's a very curious thing. I think there will be leaders on the Bears, and I think they will kind of show up, and I'm excited to see who they are. But it's apparently week 7, and I don't know who the leaders of the team are.
Well, week 8, we had a bye also.
Oh,
so, and do the leaders, figure out a broken offense? I don't know. Leadership's a great thing, and any good team is going to require it. I'm not sure you can put your four or five best leaders in the room, though, and have them walk out with solutions for why the offense is broken. And that's what it is right now. It's positively broken. And yesterday Matt Nagy said that Mitch's footwork was just sort of okay. I thought it was awful. How do you explain taking a sack on an RPO when you have two guys open and you hold the ball and you backpedal and you get planted in the earth by, Cam Jordan. So, and that wasn't the only example of poor footwork during the game for Mitch Trubisky. There were plenty. Hopefully what the leadership can do is prevent finger pointing, prevent an offense versus defense type of situation that can be born in the locker room, and that's real. That's real. When you've got one side of the ball that's playing pretty well, and the defense would tell you it should have played better on Sunday, and another side of the ball that's terrible, you can get a divisive situation that can be generated there rather quickly when one unit feels like the other isn't pulling its weight. So leadership helps you prevent something like that from happening. But I don't think leadership's going to have solutions for all that ails the offense right now.
So, Brad, you conclude your column in the Tribune this morning that's on page 3. Instinct tells me the Bears probably are not to the point where they will sideline their quarterback, but they're kidding themselves if they don't have conversations about it. You think they've had conversations about it, and what conclusion do you think they'll reach?
Well, I don't think they're going to bench Mitch Trubisky this week against the LA Chargers. You watch the press conference that Matt Nagy held yesterday, and pretty clear that that's not in the cards for this week. I think you need to start looking at it and wondering, hey, what are we going to do if this thing continues to spiral? Because at this point, you can't look at it and say, oh yeah, we know this is going to get better, because it hasn't. And why else do you have the second highest paid backup quarterback in the National Football League? And that's what Chase Daniel was at the start of the season. Is he just there because he knows the playbook and he's got experience with the coach? Or is he there because he's a guy that can come in and do a professional job with the offense? Now, we've seen him in almost two complete games already this season, and it hasn't looked fantastic. It hasn't looked a whole lot different than Trubisky. It certainly didn't look as bad as Mitch did against the Saints, but otherwise, why are you paying a backup quarterback all that kind of money?
You know, Mitch can't seemingly throw the ball downfield. Is that connected to the running game? Because they seemingly can't call a run.
I'd say somewhat from the standpoint that
there's no play action, right?
Yeah, there's play action. Why are you going to buy play action from that standpoint?
Yeah.
But it's not like, hey, they're not going to throw the ball downfield, so stack the box to stop the run. You don't have to stack the box because they're not actually running the ball. They're seven attempts the other day. It's all sort of interconnected, the issues on offense right now, but I just can't get over that, the seven carries. And I know that it in the second half the game got away from them a little bit, but when you're not having success throwing the ball, try running it. And you can't say that they were having success throwing the ball the other day, because that just simply wasn't the case.
You know, Brad, when you see the breaking news this morning about the Patriots trading for Mohamed Sanu, wide receiver from the Falcons, and a second-round draft pick, and obviously the Falcons are in a different spot because they have a terrible season, disappointing team, and they're unloading, and they're trying to accumulate draft picks. Do the Bears have any reason to look around? I mean, if Ryan Pace is talking to other general managers, is he doing it trying to supplement his roster or in the selling mode? Because they're 3-3, and the season could go either way.
I don't know how they'd be buyers right now based on the lack of inventory that they've got in terms of draft picks. So to be being buyers would be very difficult. You'd have to get a different kind of player in that trade. A lot of times you see these guys get picked up in a trade and they've got a half a season left on their contract or something like that. So maybe you get them cheap, but I don't see that. In sellers, sure, you could find a taker for Allen Robinson. Who else would they want on that offense? You know, who else can help someone somewhere else? And I don't think you want to take pieces away from the defense necessarily.
Cordell Patterson would get a lot. I might get something in return.
I mean, not a lot. He might get something.
Yeah
potentially. But he was really their only offense until the Saints stopped playing defense.
You know, it's interesting because I don't think people understand that what you're saying about the inventory. You know, I understand they got two second round draft picks, but they don't have a first round pick. And then people will say, well, why not the year after's first round pick if you're really that desperate? Well, on draft day, that pick is considered a second. So it's not, you know, while you're giving away first round picks, the bird in hand is the first round pick. The
yes.
first round pick a year after is considered, it's valued as a second round pick. So you're talking about, if you give away another first round pick, which again, I wouldn't advocate, but you're also, that's the value of the second. So you're talking about, if you really wanted to go all in, you have three second round picks. That's not what teams want for players. You know, Laremy Tunsil got two first round picks. How many picks?
Jalen Ramsey, two first round picks. Yeah, and
they
and
don't have that kind of inventory.
No, and you get a player like that, and he's going to create. Can you fit him in? Can you make him happen on
right.
your salary cap? No question. He's going to create more difficult decisions at multiple other positions, though, when you do so. So, I'd be real surprised if they did anything impactful in terms of being a buyer. Before the trade deadline.
Brad, what can you tell us about the defensive tackle they got last night who was cut, and then he's basically signed off the scrap heap?
Yeah, they pick up Brent Urban, and I think that's probably a reaction to Hicks not being there and them not being able to play the run the last 2 weeks.
Right.
They've been run over by the Raiders and now again, and he's a big dude, about 6'7", 300 pounds, was a fourth-round pick out of UVA. back in 2014. So he's got some experience. He's got some size and gives them a little more depth there on the interior. Is this guy going to come in and solve the run defense? Absolutely not. Could he help out a little bit? Hopefully.
Okay, so the Bears are 3-3. That is the reality of the situation they find themselves in. They've got the Chargers coming in here. The Chargers are 2-5, and they've had a disappointing start to their
season. The Chargers, check out a stat I found on the Chargers yesterday when I was digging around doing power rankings. They've got 5 turnovers in goal-to-go situations this season. That's unbelievable.
And they've had them at crucial points. They've had them late in games, and they have basically created ways to lose. My point is simply, this is the kind of game, it's a winnable game, and I would, you know, we'd operate in either statement game or must win. That is from Dustin. He has two, there are two categories. David created a new one with the must statement last week, but that didn't happen. Now you have to win this game. If you look at their schedule, and I know, it's a race to get to 10 wins in the division, and there are 4 losses on that schedule. If you start breaking them down and looking at where you're playing and the time of the year and all of it. So, you better be able to make some hay and you better be able to beat a good team. And even though the Chargers are not good right now, I would imagine they're pretty damn angry after that loss last week and the way they've been playing.
Yeah, this is a Chargers team that's probably as close as you can get to desperation mode if they're not there.
Yeah.
In 2-5 and starting the season with, a lot of people thought they could make some noise in the AFC playoffs. They have dealt with a significant number of injuries. They've got some real key ones. I think they lost one of their interior offensive linemen the other day as well for the season. So Derwin James, their safety, who's just a fantastic player, he's not going to play this week. He's been on IR most of the season. They're desperate. And the Bears probably feel pretty desperate as well. So the Bears have got to have this game, though. They've got to have it. Some way, somehow, they've got to score 20 points and have the defense round back into form and win this ballgame.
Yeah, I'm not even joking. There's no option. It has to happen. Because if it doesn't, the other thing is, you're stacking losses now, and if you look at that schedule.
And that's what they've done. That's what they've done such a good job of avoiding.
Yes.
In a year and a half under Matt Nagy is stacking losses.
Yeah.
Even back to back losses have been that there hadn't been a lot of that going on either. So they've been able to sort of refocus and get back on track very quickly. That's another reason that this loss, coming off a bye, coming off a poor effort in Oakland, is very frustrating. When you go beyond, some of the individual stuff, the quarterback, the lack of a running game, lack of attempt to run the ball, that's also bothersome to me, is that they had some extra time, they didn't play well the last time out, and what they've typically done before is reset and get going again, and that did not happen here.
All right, Big Z, thank you, buddy.
Good stuff,
right,
Brad.
Have a great day.
Take care.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.